All right, let's pray and we'll get into the word. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this whole year, really. You've given us this year. You've brought us to the end of the year. So we thank you for the gift of 2024, and we look forward to the gift of 2025. We place our burdens from this past year into your hands, and we look forward to what you have for us in the next year, both the blessings that you have for us and also the struggles that you're going to walk with us through in this next year. We place all of that in your hands. And as we're getting into the study today, Lord, we pray that you speak to us through your word and encourage us and help us focus our hearts and minds on you for the new year. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you want to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll be in verses 1 through 15 today. You've most likely read this passage before, so it shouldn't be a surprise. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you've ever read through the book of Proverbs, you know that it's a book of God's wisdom for us. And the premise of the book of Proverbs is that if you follow the wisdom in the book, you will generally be better off. Generally, your life works out better following the wisdom in the book. Well, what happens is what we end up figuring out as we go through life is that sometimes we even make wise choices and things still don't work out right. Things still don't go the way we'd want them to, or things still don't go well for us. And the book of Ecclesiastes, on the other hand, answers that question. What about when things don't work out? What about when my life isn't ideal or isn't what it's supposed, what I think it's supposed to be or what I wished it to be? It's a book of God's wisdom that addresses how to deal with a world that is temporary and fleeting. There are no guarantees in life. And by the end of the book, we're convinced that we find true meaning by fearing God and keeping his commandments. That the goal of our life should be to follow the Lord from our youth all the way through our life faithfully till our old age, or as much of that as we have control over now. And even when things go wrong, we trust that God's future judgment will make everything right eventually. That's the moral of the story of Ecclesiastes. Now, the book is structured by bringing up a series of problems in life and then giving us an answer to that problem. It describes what's not right about life. And then it says, but here's God's answer of wisdom to that issue. The first problem brought up is brought up in chapters 1 and 2 of the book. And that's the problem that life is fleeting. That chasing meaning in life is like chasing the wind or chasing smoke. You never grab on to it. Generations will come and go, and the earth will remain, and there's nothing truly new. Human efforts and wisdom fail to bring lasting satisfaction. It fails to change the never-ending cycle of human brokenness over and over again. And everyone, the wise and the fool, all face the same ending fate in life of death, where nothing that you've built on earth gets to go with you. Happy and cheery message of chapters 1 and 2. Luckily, we're not in chapters 1 and 2. We might feel that way, but we're in chapter 3 today, and chapter 3 provides the answer to that problem that chapters 1 and 2 brings up, that life is fleeting. And the answer is in seeing, if you want to put up our our notes for today all at once. So the answer is that chapter 3 gives is hidden in our notes for today, that the problem of chapters 1 and 2 is life is fleeting. The answer is there's a season for everything in life, and there's beauty in every season, and there's enjoyment in life's work, and there's comfort in God's control. So that's what we're going to go through today to find the answer to the problem that chapters 1 and 2 bring up. Now, the holiday season is not the same for everyone. To some of us, this is the happiest time of year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I have to sing during sermons at Christmas time. It just has to happen. To others of us, this is the darkest time of the year. It brings up the most baggage and emotional pain and difficulty. And just our lives in general are not all the same. Some of us had the best year in 2024. And some of us had the worst year in 2024. And probably the majority of us, like in most years, have ups and downs throughout the year. Our passage this morning meets each of us where we're at. It fuels our joy. It fuels our pain with us. It gives us hope for the times to come. And it helps us walk through others next to us who are going through something different than what we're going through. If we're experiencing joy and they're suffering, we can walk together. If we're suffering and they're experiencing joy, we can walk together. Hopefully this helps prepare us for the new year and the new seasons to come. So we'll start in verses 1 through 8, that there is a season for everything. In verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And I'm going to break these up, so I'm going to keep stopping in the midst of these verses 1 through 8. A season or a time in our text refers to an undefined period of time. So just a period of my life. It could be anything. It could be a week. It could be a few years. A period of my life. There's a time for each experience in our lives, meaning that our experiences are limited. They don't last forever. Good things happen, but things aren't always going to be good. Bad things happen, but things aren't always going to be bad. Maybe I'm happy right now, and when I'm happy, I should know I'm not always going to be happy. And maybe I'm sad right now, I'm depressed, I'm broken right now, but I should know things aren't always going to be sad and depressed and broken. There is a time for everything. Also, there is an appropriate time for everything. Most things are only good to partake in certain circumstances. I like eating ice cream, but I can't eat ice cream every meal or else I'll be sick and then I'll hate ice cream for the rest of my life. There's a time for ice cream, but it's not every single meal all the time stuffing my face with ice cream and that's it. There's a time that's good for each thing. Life ebbs and flows. Things come in and out of our life. And what we learn is that each moment is a gift from God. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. The good moments are a gift from God, and even the bad moments are a gift from God, and we'll see why. But it's here. We only have this moment once. That even as we sit in this room today, we only have this moment with each other, with this group of believers together once today, right now. And then it's gone. That truth helps us appreciate what we have when we have it, because we won't always have it. Now, verses 2 through 8 give us 14 examples of different seasons that come and go in our lives. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. Life and death. It's the beginning and the end, the cycle of existence in a fallen world. We weren't meant to die originally, but we do because of sin, because of us choosing to walk away from the Lord starting in the Garden of Adam and Eve. And now this is the cycle of the broken world until God comes and restores it. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. This illustrates the seasons of starting something new, starting a new project, new goals, new relationships you're planting. And then plucking, it's the moments of harvest where you get to benefit from the things that you worked on before in the past. Or you just need to move on from it because the time's been fulfilled and it didn't work out the way we wanted, and we just need to move on from that whatever we were working on, whatever we planted. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. This reflects moments of personal conflict or of war and fighting in war or of self-defense, killing in self-defense or killing to provide food for your family. Versus opportunities for recovery and restoration and nurturing. That could be physical qualities or emotional qualities. And it could be about myself nurturing myself, or it could be about others nurturing others. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. This encompasses the dismantling of structures, of nations at a big level, of communities, of our habits, of just things in our life that should or shouldn't be there. There's a time to break them down and then make way for new growth. Growth in our families, growth in our projects, growth in our personal development, a new chapter in life. Verse 4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Captures the emotional highs and lows of life. The grief and the joy that coexist as a part of our humanity. Not just for ourselves, but that we would be weeping with those who are weeping around us. We'd be laughing with those who are laughing around us. That we experience our own emotions as we experience them, and then we understand where somebody else is at. And even if we're in a time of joy, we're weeping with those who are weeping. And even if we're in a time of weeping, we're joyful with those who are joyful. A time to mourn and a time to dance. It reflects on lamenting losses, losing a loved one, losing the plans that I had, losing my dreams, losing belongings, and then celebrating the blessings, celebrating the things that we've gained, our accomplishments, our milestones, our victories. Verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. Then this could refer to one of two things. It could refer to a process where if an invading army came into a field, they would throw stones into the field so that you could no longer like plow and make food on that field. So it could refer to destroying the process that's happening already, or gathering the stones out of the field to make way for new things to be planted. That could be what it's referring to. Or it could be referring to a symbolic breaking down and building up of relationships and hospitality and partnerships. And that ties into the next one, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. This indicates seasons of connection. That could be friendship type connection or reconciliation between two parties that have been separated, or even refer to romantic intimacy, a time to have romance in your life, and then at times to step back from that, to have distance from others, or to set boundaries, or to restrain from our sexual desires. Verse 6, a time to gain and a time to lose, highlights the balance between pursuing and seeking opportunities or receiving things that come our way versus accepting loss, letting go of the things that we can't hold on to or things that have become unhealthy in our lives. A time to keep and a time to throw away emphasizes discernment in holding on to what is valuable, holding on to possessions and values and relationships, or releasing what's harmful and what's unnecessary in our lives. Verse 7, a time to tear and a time to sew. This suggests mourning. People would tear their clothes when they were in mourning. So it suggests either mourning or breaking apart and destroying, taking something down, versus time of repair and renewal, restoring unity, mending brokenness, bringing back together. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. This highlights wisdom in communication, knowing when to listen and reflect on what somebody's saying and when to express thoughts and truth. In a relationship, you need both. It's not a relationship if it's just one way in either direction. There's times to listen, and there's times to speak, and then there's wisdom on how to do that wisely. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. It reflects on the complexities of life's relationships and moral convictions. So we're called to love what is good and hate or abhor what is evil. But also there's a natural ebb and flow of human feelings and affection, of love and hate, and our feelings toward things change over time. A time of war and a time of peace is the last one. Represents the seasons of conflict in our life and resolution in our life. Conflict in personal relationships or in the community we're in the church we're in the family we're in the nation that we're in. In times of resolution and unity and peace. And one of the clearest season dichotomies or transitions that I can think of for our church, something that's emotional for our church and bugs me continuously, is our dear friend Jeanette, who has been a part of our church for over 30 years. And she was our head greeter here at the church, and she served so faithfully to the Lord. And for the 7 years before we came to this building, we were in a, if you weren't here, we were in like a tiny building that was really hard to find, and it was hard to walk into, and it was not an ideal place to be a greeter at. It's really hard to greet people. Not only that, but we were through COVID for a handful of those years. We were like half inside and half outside the building. Plus, we couldn't all fit in the building. And so how do you greet people and conduct the ministry of bringing people into the church when not everybody's even in the building? And even when they are, it's not a clear pathway to greet them, and people have trouble finding the church. And even though it was like an impossible task, she took this role so seriously. It was her ministry that the Lord had given her, and she did it unto the Lord and did the best that she possibly could with the very little that she was given to work with, and she did an amazing job. Somehow she found everybody and made them feel comfortable and welcome, and she was gifted by the Lord. And so we finally got this building, and we designed this building to improve that greeting process in part, that people could be welcomed into that area, and it'd be very clear. The flow of traffic could go straight through those big double doors and into that cafe, and that you could walk straight into the sanctuary. And it's like, finally, Jeanette has something to work with here, where she can actually, she has tools to serve the Lord in this way. And she came to this building one time when it first opened, and then after that, she was put in the hospital. She had an illness, and that illness just continued and continued. So she couldn't come back to the building, couldn't serve in the building. And then finally, this past March, on March 28th, she passed away. And she never got to serve in this building the way that she served for so many years in difficulty and struggle. And that week, I went to see her on Sunday, and then my wife went into emergency labor, and my wife and baby were in the hospital after he was born. And while we were in the hospital, living in the hospital, got the news that she passed. And then the very next day after she passed is Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday. And all of that happened in that 1 week, experiencing new life and the passing of a dear member of our church, and then a celebration of a holiday. Now, how is it fair that such a faithful servant in our church never got to experience the fruit of the years of her ministry? When I'd visit her in the hospital, when she was getting close to her passing, she would be most concerned about how our church was doing and who was handling the greeting ministry. And I was like, Jeanette, we can handle it. I know you're the best at this, but like, we'll take care of it. You need to get like focused on your health and get better. But that's what the Lord called her to do. And she took that very seriously. It was one of the most important things to her. It was her family, her kids was the most important, and the ministry and what God had called her to do. How is it fair that she never got to experience the fruit of all those years of service that she conducted here? And how can our church celebrate a holiday and celebrate a new birth while mourning such a big loss? She was core, central to our church, part of the fabric of our culture and who we are and how we treat each other. What we learn from our passage is that life is full of seasons, of life and death, of ministry and the fruit from that ministry, of blessings and of suffering. We don't always get immediate gratification from our efforts, but that doesn't mean our efforts are in vain. Jeanette's ministry was done in worship to God, so in and of itself, it already accomplished what it needed to accomplish because she served the Lord faithfully. Beyond that, the fruit of what she did is still impacting our church today. The things that she established in the greeters ministry, we still build off of. And just the way that she impacted us is still continuing. And the way that she helped get our church to this point is and continue to grow is still bearing fruit today. And she, right this second, is getting to experience the reward of her efforts in the presence of God, walking with the Lord. She's the lucky one getting to be with the Lord. She left us all here to struggle with life. So we can celebrate holidays and births and ministry growth while mourning our loss at the same time, because it's all part of the complex experience of life. We see each moment as a gift from God. When we had Jeanette with us, and now as we're serving in the fruit of the ministry that she left behind, we appreciate the balance of life under God's sovereignty and control. And it reminds us to live each day faithful to God's call and God's direction in our life, trusting in His perfect timing and His unwavering faithfulness to us. We find joy and growth while we work through and process these experiences, and we find the beauty and meaning in what we go through. There's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. It brings us to our second point in verses 9 through 11. There's beauty in every season. Now, I'm going to read from the NIV just because the New King James Version, which is what we normally read from, it was just like confusing words, but it says the same thing. So if you want to read the New King James, you can go back and read it. It says the exact same thing, but the NIV just, it seemed like for this particular passage, made it clearer, and I just wanted you to understand it as we read it really clearly. The other thing, the New King James was like a tongue twister for this passage for some reason. All right, verse 9. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So you and I, we experience how difficult life can be. We might ask God, God, why do you have to let me go through all this? Why do I have to experience all this ebb and flow, all this difficulty and challenges and back and forth? Not only is there suffering, but just our normal responsibilities in life are a lot to handle. And the seasons that we go through in life can be a lot to handle. And there's just a lot on our plate. Well, God responds by saying that He actually makes the season that we're in beautiful in its time. Beautiful in its time. There's something redeemable in what we do and the things that we go through. Every season has a purpose that can bring growth for us and transformation and deeper appreciation. And we only have this very moment to appreciate our experience. And then this moment's gone. And we haven't, if we miss it, we haven't gathered the fullness of that moment. We haven't experienced the fullness or taken advantage of the fullness of that moment. Not only that, but God created us to long for something greater, to long for life after death. Beyond the temporary. We long for something that will never end, which brings us back to our relationship with God, because in Him and in God's kingdom is the only thing that never ends. That means we're living, that drives us to live for His purposes, not for the fleeting, not for the temporary, not for our own desires, our own lives here on earth, because we know that is gone. But what lasts forever is the Lord's. And even then, we can't fully see or comprehend God's plan from our limited perspective. Now, I would probably say that this year was the most emotionally difficult year in my adult life for me and my family. You guys know that my son was born in March, like I had mentioned, and it was an emergency situation where my wife and my son's lives were at risk, but it turned out well. The Lord provided for them. And then my son was born 2 months premature, spent 2 months in the neonatal ICU, the NICU. And for that time, you know, we're living back and forth in the hospital for 2 months out of the year. And then even after that, after he came home, we had to see a handful of specialists throughout the year for different issues going on with him. And then Thanksgiving, he went into the ER, because he had croup, which upper airway infection. And then even today, he's at home because he woke up coughing up phlegm, and he had too much coughing and stuff to go home. So my wife stayed home with him. So all year has been an issue with that kid. He has such a great attitude about it, but he's been a problem for the year. So all year has been that kind of back and forth. Something I haven't told most of you is that I had while all of that was going on, I had a very complicated job situation all year long, and I end up having to leave that job, which is the job that provides for me to be able to serve at our church. And so I had to leave that job, and I've been interviewing since then, still have interviews going on into the new year, and we'll see what the Lord provides for that. So that's been a complicated, you know, negotiating and stressful situation for us. And then the church, I mentioned some of it, but this year has been very all over the place with the church. We've had so many problems, so many illnesses in the church where people have gone in and out of ministry and in and out of the hospital, and people who are home right now because of illness, and we've had stress on our ministry servants in so many different ways. We've had a lot of different personal problems and counseling situations at our church, and all the while we're doing that, we're still growing as a church and still trying to expand and reach the community better and develop our ministries, and all of that's been going on all at the same time. And all of that, I think there's been, like, I think most of the people at our church have gotten, like, sick at least once a month this whole year. I know my family has. We spent a whole two-month period with at least one person in my family having a cold. And so all of that has happened, you know, all year long, and it's just been an emotional burden the entire year, I would say. And I know that many of you have had, you know, just as challenging of a year, if not more. Yet still, you know, I laid that on thick for you guys. I didn't even mention everything. Just imagine way worse stuff. As clear as the emotional toil was from this year, the beauty of this year is just as clear to me. For example, I have gotten to spend more time with my family and more time with our church than I ever have before because of the given situations. When you're in the hospital together, you're just spending time together, you know? Despite the health setbacks, God has still given me a healthy family, healthy wife and two kids. Despite the job challenges, God has provided for us financially to get through the rest of the year. Despite our church issues, I think we've all grown in the Lord. And I think we've grown closer together as a church, that we know each other better and love each other better. And our ministry has grown. Our church has grown, and our outreach to the community has grown. It would be a travesty to miss all the amazing blessings and provisions and beautiful aspects of this season just because it was a lot to handle. We can't see all the ways God is growing and transforming us through these experiences. We may not see the fruit of our efforts for some time, but we know that everything we do while we're living for the Lord is part of His greater plan. So as we work through our struggles and we build the muscle to see beauty in the midst of the pain, we're re-encouraged to devote ourselves fully to the Lord moving forward. We don't know what this next year is going to look like and if it's going to be a year of fruitful blessing and the Lord's, it's going to be like harvest time for us or if it's going to be more challenges. We have no idea. We just know the season that we're in, there's beauty in that season. We don't want to miss it because we're too focused on the labor, too focused on how hard it was or what emotional effect it has on us. Because there's beauty in the midst of that, that even through all the stuff of the year, I don't think I could trade it. I don't think I could give up what I gained this year and the special moments that I had with my family and with our church. I don't want to lose any of that I gained this year, even with how much emotional stress it felt going through it. There's beauty in every season. Brings us to our third point. There's enjoyment in life's work. Verse 12, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. During our midweek series, that we went through in December. It was called Misquoting the Bible. And we just took verses that people take out of context or sayings that people think are from the Bible or people think are true, and we evaluated them on how biblical the interpretations of the verses or the sayings are. And one of the sayings that we covered was, God wants me to be happy. You hear people say that a lot. And while joy is a biblical theme, God's goal is not our temporary happiness. God's goal is our holiness. For example, in John 15:11, Jesus says, hey, I speak to you so that you have joy. And if you read that verse, you're like, see, Jesus wants me to be happy. But the very verse before that, Jesus said, obey my commandments. And then he says, I tell you to obey my commandments so that you have joy. In other words, the only way we can have true joy in life is by following God's commandments. God's commandments lead us to joy in our life. So when verse 12 in our text tells us to rejoice or to have joy or to be happy, it isn't speaking of surface level emotion. It's referring to the joy of the Lord, which we learned in Philippians as we're going through the book of Philippians. We'll finish that next week. We learned that the joy of the Lord is cheerful contentment. This is something we only receive from God himself because God is unchanging. If our joy is rooted in God, it doesn't change. If our joy is rooted in temporary things of this life, it will change and we'll lose that joy. At the end of verse 12, it agrees with Jesus that the only way to attain this joy is to obey God, is to do good, is what it says. God's word shows us what is good for us and what's good for others. It improves the outcome of our choices. Additionally, we follow God's word. When we're following God's word, we walk with him. And then we grow in our relationship with him and receive joy from knowing him. Now, verse 13 is really cool because it tells us that God's gift to us is the fruit of our labor. And this is to all people, not just to Christians, that we experience good results from hard work and from the pleasures of life. And this is a good thing. We work hard and then we enjoy what God has given us as a result of that hard work. It's just important to know that everything is good in its time, right? That's the lesson of our chapter. So don't let the enjoyment become an idol. Don't work hard because you're seeking the pleasure that comes from it. Work toward the Lord. Live for the Lord and seek the joy of the Lord and enjoy the fruit of your labor as you do. One summer, my job all summer long, it was during college, was to just paint the exterior of a church building. And I like painting, but that was a lot of painting. It was like 8 to 12 hours. It was with a paintbrush too, not like a paint sprayer. And so it was like 8 to 12 hours a day of me by myself, nobody else around, painting a building alone. And it was like a very tedious and taxing job and not what I was going to school for. I was going to school to be a pastor, not paint by myself alone in a corner. Yeah, exactly. It was, yeah, Karate Kid stuff. I was really good at karate after that summer. But during all that painting, the whole time I was listening to sermon after sermon after sermon. I was listening to worship music. I was praying. I was thinking through life. God was doing something in my heart that was necessary for pastoring while I was painting this church alone and nobody cared about me. I had to move concrete and dig holes, and all of that was preparing my heart for the ministry. Not only that, the money that I made there helped me finish school to be equipped for the work of the ministry. And the things that I learned, like part of my job was running wire and for media, church media stuff, and stuff that I learned we use in our building now. From the things that I learned that summer on how media works and running wires and how sound systems work and stuff like that. And it prepared my heart for the ministry. I my boss at the time, who's a pastor, is now a personal friend to this day, and we're still close from the time that we spent there. And so all this fruit came out of that very tedious, difficult job. Just looking at the job itself, I would think, I'm glad I don't have to do that again. I don't want to choose just that amount. It was just a ton of painting. And I don't want to choose painting by myself for 12 hours a day again. But all that fruit that came out of that, all the blessing that I've gotten to enjoy and gotten to utilize for the years to come made it totally worth it. I think back and I don't think about it as like, oh, that was terrible. I think about it as, wow, that was a special moment in time. And I made the best out of it at the time as well. It's good to enjoy the fruit of our labor. And anyone can enjoy that fruit in part just by appreciating what we learn and appreciating our experience, enjoying the money that we got paid for the work if it was a paid job, or just the result of the project that we were working on if it wasn't a paid situation. But what makes the enjoyment full is experiencing our labor with the joy of the Lord. That no matter what our efforts entail, no matter what our responsibilities are, the joy that we have isn't rooted in what we're doing or how we're feeling about what we're doing. Our joy is rooted in the Lord. It's rooted in what He's called us to do, because our work fluctuates. Sometimes we're doing something that's enjoyable. Sometimes we're doing something that's unbearable. But God stays the same. The God that gives us rest, the God that relieves our burden, the God that inspires our passion stays the same. And just to warn us again, this isn't about chasing our desires or chasing money or pleasure. When we chase our desires or when we chase what we think will make us happy, or when we're working just so that we can live for ourselves, all of that is a path toward emptiness and despair. It temporarily satisfies us, but over time, it fails us. Over time, it's worth nothing to us. So we should enjoy the fruit of our hard work, but we shouldn't live for it. We shouldn't live for the fruit of our hard work. We should live for the Lord. Live for obeying His word. And then we'll find naturally true joy. And then we'll naturally enjoy the fruit of our labor. There's enjoyment in life's work. And that brings us to our final point in verses 14 through 15. There's comfort in God's control. Verse 14, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so people will fear Him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. Now, unlike our seasons and our efforts, which come and go and are limited, God's work, what God does, is eternal. What God does is complete and perfect. It'll last forever. It goes on without error. That should give us a healthy fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is a reverence or an awe or a respect of God that drives us to obey Him. I'm so in awe. I so respect the Lord. I so fear Him that I want to follow and obey Him. We're so convinced of God's good plan and His good work that we want to follow His word. On earth, life operates in cycles of events and human behaviors and experiences that repeat over time. That's why the famous verse, Ecclesiastes 1:9, says, "There is nothing new under the sun." Our seasons of life wouldn't surprise a history student who just knows what's happened in the past, much less our all-knowing God. That sets up the main point of these verses, that God is fully in control of the times and seasons that we go through. Nothing escapes His attention. He weaves all things together. And this is particularly impressive to me because we all make our own choices. And we don't always do what God wants us to do. In fact, we often don't do what God wants us to do. And He still works all of our seasons, all of our situations together for His plan. We can take comfort trusting in God's judgment of what He allows us to go through. and when he allows us to go through it. So I want you to look at the outline again. As we're looking toward the new year, we're reflecting on what this past year has been. And we're in whatever season we're into, looking forward to the next season of our life. And we're faced with the issue in chapters 1 and 2. Life is fleeting. Life isn't always perfect as we want it to be. What is the answer to that, Lord? God says, there's a season for everything. Just sit with where you're at, what you're experiencing this year. There's a season for everything. And you know what? There's actually beauty in each season. Even in the season you're in now, there's beauty in that moment. There's things God's doing in your life, ways he's transforming you, ways he's speaking to you, ways he's walking with you. There's beauty in this season. There's enjoyment in the work that we're doing now. Even when the work itself isn't enjoyable, there's fruit from that work that we get enjoyment out of. So what we're, even the temporary thing that we're working on isn't in vain, because we're gaining something from it as a result. And then finally, and most importantly, there's comfort in God's control. That all things said or done, whatever we're going through, whatever season we're in, however much beauty we can see or we're struggling to see, and how whatever our work looks like, God has this season in his hands. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's weaving together our situation in how he wants it to be. This gives us true comfort going into this next year. No matter how this year has been for us, joyful or difficult, we walk into this next year confident in the Lord, because it's going to be another season. It's going to be unique. There's going to be beauty in it. There's going to be fruit from our work. And God has it in his hands. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your control over our lives. Thank you that we can lay down whatever we've experienced at your feet and trust you with everything. That you understand what it feels like to go through these things that we go through. That when we're suffering, you know what that feels like. And when we're joyful, you know what that feels like. You've given us the blessings in our life. I pray that you help us see the beauty in the difficulty. We thank you for this past year, Lord. And dedicate this next year to you. Help us live for you, Lord. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second, if you're here and you've never trusted in Jesus and decided that you want to follow him with your life, dedicated your life to following him, if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray with you about trusting in Jesus for the first time today, giving your life over to him. Does anybody want to do that this morning? Those raising your hands online, let me pray for you. I pray, Lord, for these who are choosing to trust in you. I pray that they believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that by trusting in Jesus, they can have forgiveness of their sins. They will inherit life forever after death, that we call eternal life, and that they can begin a relationship personally with you today. Pray that for them. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second longer, if you're here and you've already trusted in Jesus, you follow him with your life, and the Lord has spoken to you about the season that you're in and the potential seasons that he has for you in the future, whenever that will be, coming into this new year, he's helped you see the beauty of where you're at and the fruit from your efforts now, but he's also shown you that he's with you, that he has control over this season. He feels your where you're at, your joy, your pain, and he's walking with you through that. The times will come and go. It won't last forever. This moment is going to be gone, and there's meaning in this moment right now. And the next moment God has for you is special as well. If the Lord has spoken to you about that in your life, if you want to raise your hand, I want to pray with you. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. else want to be included in this prayer. Amen. Father, I thank you for these who you've spoken to about the seasons that they're in right now. What you've done throughout this past year in their life and what you're planning on doing in the next year. I pray for those who are suffering, who this past year has been difficult and burdensome. Pray for relief, for peace in their hearts and minds, and for a clarity of their emotions. I pray that they can see the beauty in the moment that they've had here and see how it's not going to last forever. It'll pass and a new season will come. I pray for those who have had joy in this past season and blessing in this past season. I thank you for that. I praise you for how faithful you are and how giving and loving you are. So we just rejoice and worship you for the blessing in our lives. Looking for this next year, Lord, we pray first and foremost that we can obey you and follow you, that our life would be dedicated to you, because that is where joy is and meaning is, only in you. Help us walk in you this next year, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you want to get your communion element ready, we'll close out this year taking communion together. And we'll sing a quick verse here, and then we'll take it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, amazing. Sweet the sound, amazing love now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me.
The Lord Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for Jesus' body broken for us and how he gave up his life for ours so we could have life in you. And that's the life that we now live, Lord. We have been healed and defined by you, based on Christ's life alone and his death and his resurrection, by the righteousness that he lived. So as his body's broken, you've made us whole and new. And that's what we remember when we take this together, Lord. Let's take together. In the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is in the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we remember Jesus' blood spilled for us, that it washes us clean, that it pays for our sins, that it makes us righteous on his righteousness. Now we receive full grace and forgiveness and mercy. We're covered. We have no more burden, no more guilt, no more shame, no more sorrow of our state that we're in, because we live with Christ's righteousness. We live inheriting what you have for him, the kingdom of God. We close out this year, Lord, remembering Christ's blood spilled for us, and we walk into next year confident, humble, feeling your love, knowing you walk with us by this blood. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's take together. Amen.